Let us pray. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, the time has come once again for your children to exalt your heavenly name. Father God, I come to you humbly as a man of this earth and as a vessel for your divine word and Holy Spirit. Use me, O Lord. I surrender all to thee. In your beloved name we do pray. Amen. Amen. The title for my sermon this evening is It's Time.
It's time.
It's time. My brothers and sisters, the story I'm about to tell you is a true story. No, seriously, it's a true story. Let me explain. See, back in my day, when I was young, which wasn't very long ago, but when I was younger, at about 16 years old, going on 17, I was presented a proposal that at the time, unbeknownst to me, would mold and shape and change my way of thinking forever. See, this proposal was presented to me as a recommendation to make a choice, to make a decision, to pursue something that I had not thought about at all, to walk into and to learn to face adversity. See, this proposal, Pastor Weegar, that was made to me when I was younger would come to define me as a human being. See, this proposal of the wisdom was a recommendation. This choice that was presented to me would ultimately transform my drive. It would transform my motivation. It would transform my way of thinking. It would transform my walk in life. It would transform the way I viewed the world. When I was about 16, going on 17, some people I cared for deeply, some people I looked up to, some individuals I wanted to impress, two people who I always wanted to step my best foot forward and always show that I can live up to the standards set before me. These two people came to me one evening, and Pastor, would you like to know what they said that changed my life forever?
Tell them.
They said, Mark Anthony, we love you, but then Elder Wilson, you know what they say about the word but, right? Everything that came before it is canceled. They said, Mark Anthony, we care about you, but, and there goes their word again. They said, Mark Anthony, we love you, but it's time. They said, Mark Anthony, all you do right now is sit at home and play video games at the house. They said to me, but Mark Anthony, it's time. Mark Anthony, it's time. Time for what, y'all? You need to get a job. Now, to my surprise, upon hearing this, me, 16, going on 17 years old, having no prior thoughts about this, leading up to this pivotal moment in my life, having no desire to work, having no motivation to work, having no dream to work, having no career goals to work, having no epiphanies to work, having no glimpses to work. I was here for the first time in my life that, Mark Anthony, a transformation has got to take place. You need to get a job. One of the two people who came to me that faithful and historic evening is none other than your minister of music, Miss Raquel Warren, who I can now joyfully call Miss McCarter.
Go ahead.
The other person was a mom. Ellen, I couldn't believe it. Ellen Landry, listen, my own grandmother, who I was living with at the time, she didn't even tell me I needed to get a job, and she had every reason to. I was breathing her air conditioning. I was eating up all her food. I was using her electricity to play my video games. I had it made. I was going into my senior year of high school without a worry, not a care. The world was good to me. I wasn't facing any trials. I wasn't facing any tribulations. I was with the world, and the world was in me. My life felt good on the outside. But you see, deep down, saints of God, there was a transformation needed to happen from the inside. Amen. My brothers and sisters, it's time.
It's time.
See, at that point in my life, I was carefree, but I lacked focus. See, at that point in my life, I was major responsibility free, but I lacked discipline. I still do, but God's transforming me. Hallelujah. I was worry free, but I was out of touch with reality as it happened around me. I was happy, but without knowing it, was in denial. Somebody hits me this evening. See, in this season we're in, my brothers and sisters, I believe that we are being brought into a particular season. And as Pastor Weegar assigned the three of his speakers to speak with you this weekend for Friends and Family Weekend, he believes we're entering a special season. He believes we're about to experience a great transformation and renewed devotion to the kingdom business. And I believe it too, beloved. Do you believe it?
Yes.
It's time. See, God wants to give us a complete makeover. He's provided the means through Christ Jesus' blood to remove the deformity of sin, and he provides the tools such as the Bible, the ability to study the Bible, the ability to pray, and to fellowship to fashion a new person amongst us. In our text of the evening, found in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2, one of Jesus' renewed devotees, the Apostle Paul, makes the following plea regarding transforming our lives.
Uh-huh.
It states in chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship."
That's right.
Verse 2 goes on to say, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will." As we consider this text, several questions come to mind. Marquette, what does it mean to be transformed? What should motivate us to undergo transformation? What is the goal of transformation? What does one do in order to experience transformation? Like the two protagonists of my earlier story knew, what I didn't know was that a transformation needed to come to my life to help me become a better me. Hallelujah. My wife and mother-in-law both knew that to bring me to the next level of my life, they needed to give me a little push and motivation in the right direction, hallelujah. They both could see the end goal even though I couldn't. And they both knew that it was for my benefit and not my demise, hallelujah. Some of us are just like the 16, 17-year-old me in the story. And I say 16 and 17 for dramatic effect. I know what age I was, but that's not much of your concern. Just know that I needed to work to have mercy. But anyway, some of us are needing a transformation. Some of us are needing guidance in the right direction. Some of us are needed to see an end goal so that we can fulfill our Holy Father's promise. Berean, it's time.
It's time.
With the first question, what does it mean to be transformed? Well, let's look at the definition of transformation itself. Transformation is defined as a thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance, or a metamorphosis during the life cycle of an animal. The Greek word is metamorphuo, which means to change into another form, and from which comes the word metamorphosis, which is used to describe a change of form. Probably the very first version of this instance that comes to your mind when you hear the word metamorphosis is a particular metamorphosis that happens in nature, which is what, everyone, when a
caterpillar
becomes a butterfly. Amen. Y'all come preach this thing with me. See, in the New Testament, the word is used to describe what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. See, in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 2, it says, "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves." Verse 2 says, "There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light." This simple sentence describes one of the most amazing events in the lives of Peter, James, and John.
That's right.
This moment confirmed in dazzling light what they already believed to be true. Their master Jesus was the Son of the God of heaven. So the idea being commanded by Paul here, Romans 12, 1 through 2, is this. Christians are to undergo a sort of complete change, which under the power of God will find expression in character and conduct. For instance, that we who can be considered the caterpillars are to become butterflies through a transfiguration or a metamorphosis. Romans 12, 1 through 2 indicates to me that Paul is indicating that the transformation is something we allow to be done to us, not something we do of our power alone. Rather, we submit to God's power and His grace, and we are changed into another form. We become sort of a new creation.
Uh-huh.
And this leads us to our second question. What is the motivation for this transformation?
What is the motivation?
The mercy of God.
Yes, sir.
See, in our text, Paul appeals to the transformation based on God's mercies.
Uh-huh.
Romans 12, 1 reads, what mercies of God had Paul discussed earlier in the epistle? Some of the mercies were the nature of sin and our need. Therefore, of God's mercy and His grace in sending Jesus to overcome sin, paying His penalty for us and bringing us into a right relationship with God through faith. Another mercy would be salvation from the wrath of God, found in Romans 5, 9.
That's right.
Should not God's mercy move us to repent and seek transformation?
Yes, sir.
See, Paul also appealed to the transformation based on the love of Christ. Elsewhere, Paul revealed the motivating power of the love of Christ, found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Such love compelled Paul to live for Jesus. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me.
Yes, sir.
Does not the love of Christ move us to live for Him and like Him?
Yes, sir.
So what if we are not transformed, brothers and sisters? The alternative to being transformed is being conformed to this world. See, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 kind of dictates that information. The word conformed, as used in this verse 1, means to conform to another's pattern. If not transformed, we will be conformed to the world. We'll act like the world. We'll be like those in the world, after the fashion or pattern of the world. Conformity sets in when we have lust in our heart for the flesh of other people. Conformity sets in when we breed jealousy and we covet or desire what our friends or our family or celebrities have that we don't have. So we follow patterns that not often follow the pattern of Christ and His righteousness, seeking worldly possessions and worldly desires. We want the latest this and the latest that, or we don't desire a relationship with God at all. The 16, 17-year-old me was fine with conformity. He was fine with complacency. But a change and a transformation was needed. It's time. So what does the goal of transformation look like? The goal of transformation while we are here is to live like Christ lived. To present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. So we are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. The text says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Jesus Christ lived to prove that God's will is good, God's will is acceptable, and God's will is perfect. This is exactly what Jesus sought to do on earth. John 6:38 says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. So we are to demonstrate that God's will is right. Found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the goal of being transformed is the goal of being a Christian. Yet why do many never experience the transformation that God offers? Why do they remain caterpillars? The process doesn't sound very difficult, right? So in conclusion, our last question is, what does one do in order to experience transformation?
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the true story I was telling earlier about the young 16, 17-year-old me who was faced with the proposal. What did he do? Well, the young man was confused, first and foremost, by the proposal that was presented to him by his girlfriend and his mother, or her mother at the time, and he dwelled on the thought of transformation. Without much thinking at all, I spread this idea throughout my household, and I spread it to my friends that at the time didn't understand where it was coming from, and neither did I. But it was time. It's time that I made the decision to get a job. It became time that I would become more responsible and disciplined. The young me had a friend who is now deceased, may he rest in peace, but at the time this friend had a vehicle. So the young me and the friend decided, let's find a job together. Let's work together to fulfill this transformation. So they went from fast food to fast food restaurant applying. And we even got several of our other friends to come along and join us on this mission. And then one day, my friend and I got a call back for an interview. And we were both hired at the ultimate hamburger fast food restaurant, known as McDonald's. There, I quickly learned the ins and outs of the fast food industry, and I was introduced into management and more responsibility and discipline, and the rest is history. See, the process of transformation requires a change agent. For the younger me, my change agent was my girlfriend at the time and her mother's proposal. For you, it might be something different, but with Christ, it's through baptism. See, the process of transformation dictates that we cannot change ourselves by our own strength or our works.
Right.
It begins when we are baptized in Christ. But there we experience the working of God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14 says, For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form.
Yeah.
And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. See, verse 12 says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And 13 goes on to say, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins. And in 14 it says, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross.
Yes, sir.
Through Christ, we are forgiven of all trespasses, and we're saved by the mercy of God. The process of transformation continues as we renew the mind. As indicated in our text, Romans 12, 2. Ephesians also says, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24 also says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Unless there is a renewing of the mind, any change in our lives will be superficial.
Come on, friend.
Renewing the mind is made possible by where we set our minds to. See, setting our minds on Christ and his kingdom and feeding our minds with the word of God, prayer, and fellowship is the key to renewing the mind.
Right.
With our minds renewed, we can experience the true transformation.
Yeah.
By putting off the old man and putting on the new man, and by living according to the Spirit. The process of transformation is simple to accomplish. We can contemplate on God and study his word. We can keep our minds in communication with God via prayer. We can involve our minds in spiritual worship with each other here at the church. And with renewed minds, it becomes possible to put off the old and put on the new.
Yeah.
We can put off the old man with the sins to put on the new man pattern after the example of Christ. Modern studies and self-improvement confirm that we can sometimes become what we think. We can change attitudes and behavior by filling our mind with positive mental images. Though transformation is simple, it may not be easy for everyone. In conclusion, we've been called to be transformed into the image of Christ. We have all the motivation we need. We have God's mercy, and we have Christ's love. We have the opportunity to start anew by the washing of baptism. Uh-huh. And we must allow our minds to be renewed by setting them on things above. Are we submitting to the brain surgery by the great physician? God wants us to get a complete makeover.
Right.
He has provided the means through Jesus' blood to remove the deformity of sin. He provides the tools through Bible study, prayer, and fellowship to fashion us into a new person. In light of God's wonderful grace, this is our reasonable service. Shall we not prove to the world that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect? Just as the younger me had his change agent, will you accept God's change agent? Will you accept baptism if you have not already? Will you begin the process of renewing your mind? Will you enter your season of transformation